Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CMN Momentum 2020 Online is the unique event for ministry-minded Catholics. Join us July 15th and 16th and jumpstart your good work for God. This two-day event offers best practice conference presenters and a virtual trade show. Also included are film screenings, music guests, and even a pro-life voter town hall. CMN is where Catholic businesses and nonprofits, leaders and volunteers, are empowered with practical hope and help during these hard times. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register today. Your Catholic organization can join Catholic Marketing Network so you and four members of your team can attend Momentum 2020 for free. In addition to free access, a $75 CMN membership provides year-round benefits for Catholic schools, nonprofits, church fundraising teams, retailers, and more. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register, and get ready to build professional and personal momentum.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm very happy to have a very powerful and special guest and friend on our show today. I'm going to let you know who that is in a few moments. But I wanted to remind you, the time in the church history when around the year 350 or so AD, the whole Catholic Church woke up and found itself in heresy, the Arian heresy. Most of the bishops, so many of the bishops have been kicked out of their bishopries and had been replaced by Arian bishops. And it seemed like the whole church was collapsing. Athanasius, Saint Athanasius, had been exiled into the desert, the great champion of orthodoxy was driven out of his bishopry, and bishop after bishop was replaced in moments of great political intrigue, as the Arians, who denied the divinity of Christ, took over the Catholic Church. In fact, at one of the church councils, St. Nicholas became, as we say, the bad St. Nicholas. He punched out one of the other people that were there that were defending the Arian heresy. It is said, legend says that he took a swing at him and was removed from the council for a period of time. Things were in a very, very, it seemed like the whole church was about to cave in on itself. It was not attack from the outside. It was attack from within. There were wolves in sheep's clothing. And yet the Holy Spirit, who's bigger, who's the biggest and baddest dude on the block, the Holy Spirit planted a fire of his love in the hearts of the people, and Catholic orthodoxy was restored. The bishops were restored. So we need to have time. We need to have great courage and great hope, and actually not be downcast, but look up and know that God is doing something powerful and something great. He is restoring his church during this season. And we have as our guest a friend of mine, a cast member of Long Ride Home. You've seen him in season one, and soon he'll be, he's part of season two, which will be coming out soon, our motorcycle reality show. And a friend who's been there for me since I was, when I was going through a really tough time in my life, he stood by me, and he even gave me a copy of a Traveler's Catholic Catechism. It's a super light catechism, which I cherish. I kiss it every time I pick it up. I use it every morning in my Ocean Sunrise catechisms that I do around wherever I am in the world at 7 a.m. That time, I spend 15 minutes teaching out of the catechism. We're almost through the whole book, by the way. We're on our third year now. But this is a man that I have utmost confidence in his love for the church, his love for the Pope, his love for the people of God, his love for the positive faith, his love for the magisterium of his church, his love for Jesus, and I know his love for me. Father Mark Goring, thank you for being on the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Good to be with you, Bear.
So you have a YouTube channel, and it's called what?
It's just my name, Father Mark Goring.
Father Mark Goring. And so we'll have to share this with you, so maybe you can share it with your people. But also, if you want to see this, you know, we're on the EWTN radio network. We're on every sort of podcast app there is. We're on Sirius FM. But we're also on the YouTube channel, too. So if you want to, you can go to our YouTube channel and share that video with your friends. This is a video you're going to want to share. And by all means, subscribe to our channel and subscribe to Father Mark Goring's channel. Father Mark, it's been really interesting to in the last several months, your YouTube videos have been just so powerful, humble, pursuit of truth. Bishop Newnham told me the other day that, people are so into truth, so into justice and mercy these days, but they've neglected truth. And without truth, all of that goes awry. What do you feel about what's happening? What's your heart telling you? What's the Lord speaking to you right now about what's going on in the church?
Yeah, I mean, my big concern, among others, is I don't want to see the church in the U.S. get to the place where the church in Western Europe has become, or Ireland or Quebec. We know that the church in the U.S. is in decline, obviously in big part because of the scandal in the church. And I just feel that now is not the time to just stand back and watch. It's the time for faithful Catholics to fight for our church, you know, for the church in America.
And, you know, you're a pastor. You really are a pastor. You're watching out for your flock, and I'm not necessarily part of your flock, but I know you're watching out for me. What is it that at some point you had to say enough is enough? You know, one of the things you can, when I was at the Napa Institute meeting in Washington, D.C., and Cardinal LaMuller was there, and Scott Hahn, and Dr. Tim Gray, and so many wonderful people, one of them stood up and said, there's really something wrong with people who don't at some point know when to be angry. So there's a sort of an anger that we can have that's that turns into determination. When did that point come when you began to say, I need to speak out? What was it? What is it that's on your heart right now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I've never been a person who's had actually much interest in church politics. You know, I just always assumed, you know, the leaders of the church, they're doing their job the best they can, and I'm just going to focus on my particular, you know, flock. And but then I read Dr. Ralph Martin's letter, where he kind of spelled out what he saw was going on in the church, and it shocked me. Like I thought to myself, this can't be true. And then a little while after Archbishop Viganò's testimonies came out, and I think for me that was when it became clear and obvious to me, okay, there's a battle going on, and I need to become one of the soldiers who fights this battle. It was just plain clear to me that there's a corruption network in the church. Some of the hierarchy is compromised. Some of the hierarchy is just cowardly. And some of the hierarchy is corrupt, you know. And it became clear to me, if we don't fight this, the church will be decimated.
You know, getting right to the heart of the issue, Bishop Strickland's address at the Bishop's Conference. He was the one that brought up, I forget the gentleman's name,
Sullins.
Yeah, Sullins' study, and Dr. Janet Smith at the Napa Institute in D.C., we had that one-day event in October about the church crisis. The big elephant in the room is the statistic that says that now 18% of the priests in America are homosexual. And the bigger and another big statistic, and I don't remember the exact, is how many of our priests are not being true to their celibate vows. And so that's the big elephant in the room when we talk about predatory priests. It appears that most of the issues related to predatory priests with minors has been handled to a great degree by the Dallas Protocol, but the predatoriness among young people, 18 and above, and then just the acting out of the two priests in Miami that were caught last month having sex at a parking lot near the beach. That seems to be the heart of the issue, is this whole area of the, as they've called it, the homosexual mafia or whatever you want to say. How do we deal with that? What do you say to that?
It's well, like you said, the Sullins report, highlighted that it seems like in the 60s, the seminaries started taking in homosexuals, and that caused the percentage of homosexuals in the priesthood to keep going up and up, to the point where now, according to Sullins, or I think it was around 10 years ago, if my memory serves me correctly, it had made its way up to 18% of the priests are homosexual. And that may have gone up since then, because we know that the church has, again, in some places has really opened the door to this. And what I think most shocking about the Sullins report is that he says, Father Sullins, the sociologist, he says that, I hope I'm wording it right, but there's a direct correlation between the percentage of homosexuals in the priesthood and the rate of abuse. And he, again, if my memory serves me correctly, he says something along the lines of the correlation is almost perfect.
Perfect. We're talking with Father Mark Goring. He's the pastor of the Catholic Charismatic Center in Houston. He's a member of Long Ride Home. His YouTube channel is Father Mark Goring, and you can go there and listen to more of his YouTubes. We'll be right back. We're going to get more into the grittiness of this. This is Bear with the Bear Woznik Adventure. You can go to our website, deepadventure.com, and find out more. And if you want to watch this video and share this video with your friends, you can go to the Bear Woznik YouTube channel. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Woznik Adventure.
This is a warning. The Bear Woznik Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Woznik.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Woznik Adventure. We're talking with my friend Father Mark Goring about what's going on in the church right now, the recent Sullins report. I guess the statistics have been, Father, that 80%, 86%, I think is the number, of the abuse cases is homosexual in nature. And now you've been referencing the Sullins report and the direct correlation between the increase in homosexual priests and the increase of predatory behavior. Speak to us more about that, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Sullins mentioned, if my memory serves me correctly, he said, had we not started taking in homosexuals into the seminary and priesthood like the church did back in the 60s, there would have been 85% less abuse cases. Now, that's massive, you know. And again, he just says it's the correlation, as the number of homosexuals or the percentage of homosexuals rise in the priesthood, there's a direct correlation to the number of abuses. And I'm sure it's very, I don't know what, you know, embarrassing, hurtful for some people to hear that. But if that's, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, if that's the truth, that's the truth, you know. Another thing that's interesting, Bear, is you see, the Catholic Church teaches that as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to be pure. Mm. You know, we're called to guard our hearts. We're called to chastity. We're called to integrate, allow the Lord to integrate our sexuality so we become more and more virtuous. And I think in a particular way, you know, if the Catholic Church has rejected what the Lord Jesus has commanded us, should we not be surprised that when the storm comes, the house will be destroyed? You know, there is no reason for the church to water down the teaching of the Lord Jesus. We're called to be holy, we're called to be pure, we're called to be virtuous and chaste. And until the church embraces this, it's going to be a mess, you know. And you know, there's currents in the church right now, or rather in the world, that the spirit of the age right now is so perverse. And this perversity in the world wants to creep in to the Catholic Church. And unfortunately, again, there are corrupt, there are compromised, and there are cowardly leaders in the church who are willing to open the door to the spirit of the age, you know. And so that's the battle we're in right now. We need faithful Catholics to say, no, not in my church. You know, this is the church that Jesus established. The teachings of the church are clear, and also the warnings from the Lord. If we don't build on the rock of God's word, we're done, you know. And so yes, we need to kind of address the obvious problem in the clergy, which is homosexuality.
Okay, so let's go here. Let's start at the very root, where I see it. You talked about the need for purity. I have friends that are Catholic that approach the Eucharist and receive the Eucharist that have been divorced and now living with someone for a decade. With no sense at all that receiving the Eucharist in an adulterate state, during a time of adultery like that, we'd clearly call it that adultery, is wrong. There's many people listening right now that are living with someone that they're not married to, and yet they call themselves Catholic. There are many people that, why are there so many? I love these big Catholic families, by the way. But someone's contracepting, because a lot of the Catholic families, you know, are one or two children. People are living together outside of marriage. They're contracepting. There are many Catholics that are pro-abortion, and so we kind of get the leaders we deserve in a way, right? It's kind of I think Jefferson might have said that we get the leadership we deserve. So we need to start by taking the log out of our own eye, but I was talking to a friend of mine. I go, can you talk about that with me on camera? He said, yeah, Jesus said, don't take the little sliver out of your friend's eye. Take the log out of your own. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, take the log out of your own eye so that you can take the sliver out of your friend's eye. We as the Catholic Church, the leaders that we have is largely because of us. And I remember Rick Santorum, when he spoke at the NAPI Institute 2 years ago, he said, the reason why we're in the state we are right now is your fault. He pointed at the room and said, it's your fault, because you were asleep at the watch. But what do you see? What is your word to Catholics right now? What should our response be?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the scriptures that come to mind is where, you know, the Lord Jesus says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, you know, most take that road, but hard, narrow is the way, the gate that leads to life, and few find it, you know. And I think every Catholic has to just make a decision that they are going to follow the gospel without compromise, and follow the church's teaching without compromise. And that is going to be a battle. You know, like, it is not easy to live the gospel without compromise, or even try to live the gospel without compromise. And I, you know, I think in the Catholic Church, we in a lot of our institutions, we've kind of allowed compromise. The culture has become one of, oh, well, you know, no one's perfect, so, you know, we don't have to kind of follow the gospel so wholeheartedly. And you know, we always talk about the olden days, you know, but you think about the Desert Fathers, mm-hmm. and how intent they were on achieving purity of heart, you know. And even the monastic tradition, there was such a focus on virtue, on holiness, on, you know, sacrifice. And in so many places, we've lost that, you know. We've just lost our sense of becoming holy, you know, of uncompromised following of the Lord.
Are we in danger of salvation, Father? Are we falling into the heresy of sola fide? Are we being presumptive on God's mercy?
Well, I'll tell you something. I mean, no one knows exactly the numbers on what percentage of people, you know, get to heaven and purgatory and hell. But when the Lord was asked, you know, will many be saved? His response was strive, you know, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And so, I mean, I think that for a person to compromise the gospel and the teachings of the church is extremely dangerous for their eternal salvation. You know, every one of us as Catholics, we need to meditate on hell on a regular basis. We need to meditate on eternity on a regular basis, not with a servile fear, but with a just an honest reality check that, hey, my life is real short. I could die today and I'll have to give an account for my life. And God's word is clear. And the Holy Spirit.
I was just with Bishop, is it Molinari? I forget how to pronounce his name. He was with us in D.C. and he spoke boldly and strongly. He passed away, I think, on November 24th.
Morlino.
Morlino, right. And Vigano, if that's how you pronounce his name, Vigano, has been saying, I had to say this. I had to come out for the sake of my soul. You talked about a need to meditate on our death, the monks of the desert. They may not have had but maybe a book of Psalms or maybe a gospel to meditate on, but they most all had a skull in their cave. Their words to each other when they would see each other very rarely, their only words they would speak is memori morta, remember your death. And we need to realize, and when we get back, we're challenging people, but when we come back from this break, I want to encourage people how they can break away from their own double life if they themselves have found themselves living not according to the gospel. We're talking with Father Mark Goring. I'm going to strongly urge each of you to go to his YouTube channel. It's Father Mark Goring YouTube channel, correct, Father?
That's right.
And please subscribe and click the little bell so you get notified every time that his new show comes on. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back with more.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, this is Bear Wozniak coming to you from Waikiki Beach with another Deep Virtue segment. It's a beautiful day today in Waikiki. Not a lot of waves, but my normal thing that I do late morning every day is I get my stand-up paddleboard and I paddle out and I stand-up paddle about a mile and a half, one direction. There's about 9 reefs along that route and I surf 2 or 3 waves on each reef and then do a little beach workout. And then I paddle back from Ala Moana Bowls and surf the back nine, as I call it. But while I'm surfing the back nine, I pray the rosary. And I pray the rosary, I pray a decade of the rosary for each of my children and for my wife and for anyone that's special in my life. And I find it just a great time. I'm not really surfing that much on my way back. I'm mostly just paddling hard against the wind. I'm just focusing on my paddle strokes and saying the rosary. I think it was Father Pio that said, the Padre Pio that said that the rosary was his weapon. And I've been with Doug Barry from Life on the Rock and EWTN speaking. And when he's speaking, he's holding that rosary in his hand. He considers it his weapon too. The power of prayer, the power of intercession, and asking Mary to intercede for us is is a powerful thing. Remember that she is the mother of God. And when you ask her to pray for you, just like at the wedding of Canaan, she told Jesus, hey, you know, they're in trouble. They've run out of wine. And he said, what does that have to do with me? And then she told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And he responded to the intercession of his mother, and he performed his first miracle. If you want to see miracles in your lives, and especially in the lives of your children and your family members, pray the rosary and ask Mary to intercede for those people. I've seen beautiful changes in my family's lives as a result of that. This is Bear Wozniak with another Deep Virtue segment. You can go to deepadventure.com for more information. Aloha.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm with my friend, Father Mark Goring. I recently got to talk with Bishop Noonan, my bishop here in Orlando, and we had a conversation with him about political correctness and all this sort of thing that's the kind of turning upside down of morality in the world today. And he said something I thought was so profound. He said, people want to pursue justice. We see these so-called justice warriors, and they want to pursue mercy. But without truth, all of that is turned upside down, and everything is misapplied. The thing about the Catholic Church, and if you read the catechism, we can form our consciences, and we know how to behave. We know what God is calling us. It's not just behavior. We know what God is calling us to. Father Mark Goring is with us. Going into the break, he said, we want to love the Lord and serve the Lord and obey the Lord, not out of a servile, mercenary sort of, if I do this, I get to heaven. We want to love God back. But God said, the way you love me back is by keeping my commandments, because his commandments are really his will, and God's will is love. But Catholics have fallen, Father, I think, into a sola fide, you know, by faith alone sort of mentality, that once they've given their life to the Lord, no matter what sin they're falling into, they have a free ticket to heaven. But I wanted you to talk right now, the guy riding in his truck, the person listening to this, maybe sitting next to someone who they're in an adulterous relationship with, or maybe they're, and what I mean by that is maybe they're in a committed relationship, but they're not married. What is the path back if we're going to be challenging our priests to celibacy? What is the path back for our own people who are living a double life in some way? What's your prescription for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously each one of us needs to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. It's kind of like the example they always give is first the Lord God set the people free from Egypt, then he gave them the law. So I mean, I think anyone who's struggling with a life of sin, you can't do it on your own. You know, your own willpower just won't get you there. You need the grace of the Holy Spirit. You need the grace of God. And so, to turn to the Lord Jesus, to acknowledge your sin, to repent, and to just beg him to help you is obviously the first step. Each individual case is unique. One of the things I kind of really insist with people is try to get into God's word on a daily basis. I just, like, for me, reading scripture, it puts a fire in my heart. Yeah. You know, when we read scripture with love, it's God's word and it's alive and active, you know, and I just find reading God's word, first of all, it tells us the truth. And I think that there's not only something that we learn when we read God's word, but there's a power we receive to live it. Obviously going to confession is extremely powerful if someone's living a life of sin. You know, I mean, we all struggle with sin, but, you know, in particular, if someone's struggling with something that they can't get out of, to go to confession. Confession makes a person new. It cleans the soul and just gives powerful grace. The other thing too that's really big is just you know, having Christian friends. You know, like I'm part of a little men's group, and the strength I get from, you know, sharing the struggle, the journey with other men who want to be holy is just powerful stuff. And so, yeah, so it's a battle. You know, it's it requires, we need the grace.
And we need it. We need to go. You know, if here's the thing. Cowardly men. There are a lot of couples living together where the man is the coward. He's the one that won't pull the trigger and say, let's get married. And the woman is there giving her so much of her to him, and it's time for him to kind of man up. But you're right. We need to go to confession. We need to go to our pastor, our priest, and say, how do I move from where I am now to where I need to be? We need a men's group. Father, that's why we have our Bears Man Cave. You know, we have the man cave where men can join, and it's a private Facebook group, but they go to our website, deepadventure.com, to join. And then we share with each other there in that secret Facebook group. And about every 2 weeks, we have a Zoom video chat where we all get together and we talk and we go through my most recent book on the virtues. But we need to challenge men to manly virtue. But the key to it, you're right, is the sacraments, adoration, confession, meditating on God's word. I was thinking about this last night as I was meditating on God's word, the life of St. Paul. Think about when he left Damascus, he was lowered out of the wall. You know, the Romans had a special honor for the first man over the wall when they were laying siege to a city. Mm-hmm. He was the first one lowered out of a wall, you know, in the kingdom of Jesus. And he fled to the desert, as you said, the monks of the desert. For 3 years, he lived in a cave, probably, maybe the same one that Elijah was in, down in that area, reading probably from the scrolls he had written as a youth when he was charged with copying the scrolls, probably the Septuagint. His heart must have been burning so much. Oh my gosh, and this means this, and that means that. He was connecting all of the dots. And for 3 years, I feel bad for any nomad that came by his cave, you know, because he's going to, and then he goes back to Damascus, and he's so on fire there that he causes real problems. And he goes to Jerusalem. He can only spend 2 weeks there because he's so on fire. Your word to say, in fact, your ministry, I think when you go to YouTube channel, there's a name for it.
Become Fire.
Become fire.
Night Lives.
And that's it. If you're meditating on God's word, if you're going to confession, receiving the sacraments, you'll have the boldness and the courage to take the steps God's asking you to take.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
So take us more along this path now within the church itself. Where do you see the challenges are, and how do we as the laity pursue bringing the church back to where it needs to be?
Yeah, like for me, what's critical is that faithful Catholics push back. You know, I think that in the past, faithful Catholics wouldn't dare challenge the leadership of the church. You know, but that didn't work in Western Europe. It didn't work in Ireland and Quebec. We always obviously have to be respectful of our leaders, but that doesn't mean letting them get away with awful stuff, you know? And I just think it's so important for faithful Catholics to make it known that we're not going to tolerate nonsense. And if leaders in the church think that they can get away with nonsense, we need faithful Catholics to make it very clear to those leaders that that's not going to happen. It's my church too, and we need to fight. You know, I've been quoting Peter Kreeft. He says, "Love."
I love him.
Love fights. You know, and if we don't deal with the corruption in the church right now, we'll see the church continue to decline, which will mean the loss of the salvation of souls, you know. The other thing too, Bear, I think is interesting is I believe this is a time of grace for Catholics. I think that Catholics who do answer the call to fight for the honor of Holy Mother Church, those Catholics will receive tremendous grace in their lives. It's like they'll be, I don't know what you want to call it, a new springtime in their faith. You know, the Lord, he's not outdone in generosity. And I think sometimes it's in the times where we lay it on the line, where we pour out all we have, that the great graces come into our life. So this might be the time where saints are made. Just because people did have the courage to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a lukewarm Catholic anymore. I'm going to fight, and I'm willing. I mean, and I've said openly, I'm willing to die, you know, for the honor of the church. I mean, life is short. We only get one shot at life. Eternity is long. And I think we just need Catholics who are willing to say, you know, I'm not worried about my security, my comfort, my reputation. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the church he established. I'm concerned about the salvation of souls. And so I'm going to fight, you know, for the honor of the church. And if I die, I die.
And I think, you know, now when I lead people to the Lord, I think I'm leading this person perhaps to martyrdom. But we have to, it's a reality check. I mean, we think, oh, no, that could never happen here. But it happened in communism. It happened in Germany. The French Revolution, the revolution in England, when so many Catholics were martyred, and it can happen again. We're talking with Father Mark Goring, who's giving us a message of hope, of courage, and also of truth. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to invite you to go to our website, deepadventure.com. And you'll see there that we're taking a tour, a pilgrimage, I should say, to Greece this year. We're going to be going to all the places, so many of the places that Paul went, from Athens to Thessalonica, all through that area to Corinth, by beautiful buses. The tour company that we use is just incredible. I've used them before. And then we're going to take a cruise across to Ephesus, the great church there that Paul worked with and that John was with. And tradition says perhaps Mary was there. And then we're going to go to the island of Patmos and Mykonos and Santorini. And we want you to come because there's three places in the world I really feel are important to go to: the Holy Lands, Rome, and the paths of Paul. Because Paul, we know more about Paul than we know about any of the other apostles, and we can really live and breathe the progress of his journey. So we want to invite you to please go to deepadventure.com and join us there. We're talking with Father Mark Goring. He's a cast member of Long Ride Home. He's the pastor of the Catholic Charismatic Center in Houston, Texas. Father, when I came to your church 2 years ago when we were filming Long Ride Home, and you know, it's about the toughest thing anybody can do is to be on the set of Long Ride Home. It's super challenging. And I went into your church, and as Mass was beginning to start, the infusion of the Holy Spirit just filled my soul like I hadn't experienced in years. At the moment that Father Francis said, "In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit," it's not something you can make up. It's not something you can force. You can only make yourself open to the move of the Holy Spirit. You can just present yourself to the Lord. But it was such a moment of God encouraging me that in spite of I always look at all my weaknesses and inabilities and rough edges, and the Lord just said, "Just I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you." And I think during this time of the church, when God is challenging us to step into the breach, he's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. And there's nothing more powerful than changing the church. Archbishop Chaput spoke to us at the Napa Institute. He said, then having a family, having lots of kids, and raising them in the Lord. It is the domestic church. It is one. When you look at the walls of Nehemiah, when the prophet challenged them to rebuild the walls, it was one man in his family that repaired this breach, one man in his family that repaired this breach, all around the whole wall. And then as they come under more and more attack, because they were being more and more successful, then as one man worked, another man stood with his spear and his shield protecting him. And anyone carrying supplies carried the supplies in one arm and a sword out in the other. Men need to come together. We need to stand with each other and challenge each other. It's time for us to step into the breach. Now, we're talking about the crisis in the church right now. Practical things that people can do right now is, you know, we need to figure out what a good bishop is and what a bad bishop is, frankly. How would you define a good bishop?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, the bishops who inspire us to be holy, to love the Lord Jesus, to, you know, become saints, that's a real good sign. Bishops who are preaching the gospel without compromise. You know, I think the bishops who give any indication of kind of embracing the spirit of the age, you know, need to be just, you know, we need to discern that. It's like, what are we dealing with here?
Any bishop that isn't transparent about what's happening with their priests that have crossed the line, you know, if there's transparency there instead of political cleverness trying to hide behind things.
I think too, another big one is just, you know, does the bishop have the honesty to acknowledge the reality of what has scourged the church, which has been very much the homosexuality in the clergy? I take that as an indication that a bishop has backbone, you know. I think so many of us, we're just sick of the political correctness. We're sick of the sugarcoating. We're, you know, we're sick of being treated or insulted, you know, with assuming that we don't know what's going on. Like, we know what's going on in the church. Everyone knows what's going on in the church. So don't pretend this isn't largely a homosexuality problem, you know. And yeah, I mean, if a bishop, to me, that's a bit of an indication. If a bishop isn't willing to drop the H-bomb, I just feel he's a coward. You know, either he's a coward, or he's compromised himself, or he's part of the corruption.
Well, here's what I see, Father. It's like you talk about the H-bomb, and I think you're referencing to getting real about the homosexual kind of basically invasion among our clergy. There's going to come a time when the church says we're not going to, Pope Benedict had given instructions, no more men with same-sex attraction in the seminaries. There's going to come a time when the church is going to have to say priests need to re-say their vows of celibacy or something like that. And if you're homosexual, you need to leave the priesthood. And no more homosexual or men with same-sex attraction going to seminary. When that happens, I fully expect us to lose our nonprofit status. And we need to be willing to do that. It could mean the bankruptcy of the church, but better that than moral bankruptcy. We're talking about a reality check here.
Yeah. What might also happen, Bear, is that the Catholic Church might give the world an indication of reality. The world will see that we opened the doors to homosexuals beginning in the 60s to the clergy, and it devastated our church. The correlation again between the percentage of homosexuals and abuse is they say almost perfectly direct. And other worldly organizations might see what happened to us, and they might say, hey, wait a minute, maybe the Boy Scouts shouldn't be opening the doors to homosexuals. Maybe a Catholic school shouldn't just, you know, have homosexual teachers without kind of discerning this. And it's a delicate thing, Bear, because, you know, to me, a person who struggles with same-sex attraction, a person who calls himself a homosexual in the world, who's never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, like, I don't condemn those people. They need to hear about Jesus, and Jesus makes new. Like, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but I came to save the world, you know? And so we don't want to give the impression that the Catholics hate people who see themselves as homosexual. But we do want to make it clear that as as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who have been taught morality from the Lord Jesus, who understand the natural law, we've learned. We've learned that man is made for union with woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the body isn't designed for homosexual actions. And again, it might be that the Catholic Church warns the world about opening the doors to homosexuality, you know. And again, Barry, you understand how this is a delicate thing. We're not throwing rocks at the person who calls himself a homosexual, who's never really heard the gospel and who's just struggling. We love those people. We care about those people. We don't condemn those people, but we want those people to know freedom in Christ, new life in Christ.
I got to tell you, when I'm around someone who calls himself homosexual, I have such a tremendous feeling of mercy flowing out of my heart towards them, just because I know their life has not been easy. You know, I have such a tremendous flow of love and mercy for them. But it's wrong to say that the best path to happiness for them, which God calls us all to pursue, is to learn to have freedom from that same-sex attraction. More than that, to have healing, because there's something in there that's broken usually, and to seek healing and not to feel like you're alone. That you can go to counseling, go to a priest who doesn't have same-sex attraction, and seek healing. So we have great love for people that are kind of trapped in that lifestyle, but we don't identify people based on their sexual proclivities. We identify them because they're made in the image of God. Father, can you wrap us up? We got 20 seconds of prayer. Can you pray for the people that are there that need to make a new step?
Lord Jesus, you are good and merciful. We give you our whole lives once again, Jesus. Come into our hearts and make us new. Fill us with your Spirit and give us a joy and peace that only you can give. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Viva Cristo Rey.
Viva Cristo Rey. I love this man so much. Father, you meant so much to me when I was going through the hardest time in my life. And you were there with me, and you mean so much to me. You rode with us on Long Ride Home. You gave me my Catholic Catechism, my Traveler's Catholic Catechism, which you can't get. It's almost impossible to get. So I'd like to invite everybody, go to Father Mark Goring YouTube channel and subscribe and press the little bell so that you're notified whenever he has his morning five-minute talks. And go to our website, deepadventure.com. It's a great time to buy some cool things for your family on our website for Christmas. Thank you, Father Mark.
Thank you, Bear.
Should we always say it? Viva Cristo Rey.
Que viva.
Que viva. And then what do you say after that?
Well, I guess the standard one is Viva Cristo Rey, and the response is typically Que viva.
And then about Mary.
Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe, or Viva Maria, Viva, I guess, Viva la Iglesia Católica.
Well, I'm holding up the rosary right now for those of you guys, and so is Father Mark, for those of you watching us on YouTube. Pray the rosary. We'll talk to you guys next week. Aloha.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show video.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to bearwozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at bearwozniak.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HOLO is here to help. HOLO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HOLO has something for everyone. HOLO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.